is your first week with us, we just want to say welcome. We're glad you're with us. We're so glad. I always need more space, like two or three of these across here. God's good. I'm going to talk this morning on the greatest commandment, and which is super important. I love this subject. I love it. Because it's all about Jesus. Do you know that Jesus is the answer to every problem that you have in your life?
I agree.
Are you lonely? Jesus, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Are you anxious? Jesus, he's actually the Prince of Peace. He is peace itself. Are you in trouble? Jesus, he's your rescuer. Are you consumed by darkness, in a pit, don't know how to get out, hate your life? Jesus, he's the centerpiece. We have nothing without him. We have everything with him, Jesus. Are you lost? Do you not know which way to go? Jesus is a compass for your life. He's so beautiful. And I feel like I just been touched by the Lord last week with a fresh revelation of how beautiful our God is. To love this man, God, Jesus Christ, is the great privilege of every human being that says yes. There's actually no greater accomplishment a person can have in life than just knowing I loved him and was loved by him. If I could today, by the grace of God, if the Holy Spirit could just rip open a window and we could just stare at him. When you stare at him, everything inside of you comes into alignment. Craziness and chaos and pain and hurt and indecision and what do I do? If we just rip the things away that stand in front of us and just lock eyes with Jesus. Everything comes into alignment. I used to have this saying, when things would get crazy, usually they're crazy in my head, you know. Woo! It's like, what happened? You just get all crazy in your brain, and you're like, what's going on? You know, and you don't know what's going on, and you don't know what to do or something. And I would just say this, I just got to get to Jesus. I mean, the truth is, he's right here. But you just forget it. Like, I gotta lock eyes with Jesus. That's it. And we used to just say, we still sometimes say this, we used to say it all the time, though. It just doesn't matter. What are you saying, Jesus? Just what are you saying right now? Because one word from you, everything is made right. So I'm going to talk about the greatest commandment, but why do we even want to love God, which is the greatest commandment? He is so beautiful and worthy and powerful and loving. And there is nobody like him in all the world, in all heaven above, earth below. Nobody is like our God. Nobody is like him. And I have a word for somebody in this room. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink, God says, Isaiah 55. Even if you have no money, come and take your choice of wine or milk. It's all for free in God. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does not do you any good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good, and you will enjoy the finest of food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and find life. That passage is about Jesus. can't drink my mic. I gotta drink that. Did you see that? I tried to go like that. I've really been. and I tried to talk into this. This is proof. I've been talking about I need one of those little headsets. We're going to get one. Hands-free headset. So I don't drink my mic. Oh, my goodness. See, Jesus is the answer for a divided nation. Jesus is the answer for racism. Jesus is the answer for political polarization. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And there are so many people who are so thirsty, they're so weary, and they've never known they could get what they need from Jesus. And everywhere they run to for an answer, it's just a dry cistern and a poisoned pool of water they have to drink from. Empty. Nothing real in it. Nothing satisfying. It's just, how can I numb the pain for today and get through today? Rather than how can I have satisfaction for the rest of my life that's only found in Christ? This is the God that we're invited to love. The God that when we were still sinners, when we hated him, he died for us. When we could have cared less about him, when we were consumed in selfishness, in self-centered living, in destroying ourselves and hurting everybody around us, Jesus loved you. He gave it all. He held nothing back. He spilled his blood. He gave his last breath. He was resurrected unto life. He laid it all out for love. Isn't that the kind of love we're looking for? When we get married, we're like, we don't love someone who's going to love us with everything, right? We're going to like look at him. I'm giving it all to you, baby. And it's true. Like as much as I can. But, you know, I'm just a person. What I have to give is broken, not perfected. But in the perfect way, God looked at us and said, I'm laying it all down for you. I'm holding nothing back. I'm giving you my whole heart because I love you. And it's in that context, it's that God that we're invited to love. I know I've said this before, but the most impressive thing to me in the entire world is not a big ministry or a huge following. It's someone who's in their 60s and 70s and are still loving Jesus with everything in them. That loved him when they were young and they love him when they're old. Because the truth is, everything in this world is just trying to grab a hold of you and pull you out of love. Just there's just like a demonic gravitation force in the earth. It's like the whole world is consumed with distractions, right? I mean, everywhere you go, there's something to distract you, something to numb you, something to take away your gaze from him, right? But when we just say, I'm just going to love him, and then when I find that I'm kind of wavering, I sign up again. I'm just going to love you with everything. I'm going to love you with everything. I'm going to love you with everything. Brad and Linda Abelseth are my heroes. Can you just wave your hand? I know. Can I ask how old you are? For the sake of the gospel. 77. 75. When you get to be 75 and 77, you should wear like a badge. At this point, pride in your age, okay? It's only when you're around my age that you're kind of like, do I have to say? No. You know what? 77 and 75, and nearly every time I talk to Brad, he begins to weep because he loves Jesus so much. He's just crying like, God's so good. And he's just telling me another story. I'm like, Brad, oh, I love you guys. Because greatness is loving God with everything in you. Yes. That's what greatness is. It's not how popular you are. It's loving God with everything and being loved by him. I agree with that wholeheartedly. There's nothing, this is on your sheet if you're taking notes, there's nothing more important in this life than loving God with all our being. We never graduate from it. We never grow it out of it. We never take our eyes off of it. To love Jesus is the chief pursuit of every believer, and there is no greater aim. Mark 12 is going to be the passage we're going to bounce off of today. This has been a really important scripture for me to recenter my life on loving the Lord, because he actually tells us what the greatest commandment is, but then he tells us, what does it look like? Don't we all want love to look like something? Like when I got married to Jeff, I wanted his love for me to look like something, right? Now, if he was like, the day we got married, he says, I do, I love you, babe. And a year later, he had never said it again. And he's like, what? I already told you. I told you once, I love you. There'd be some disappointment there in the marriage, wouldn't there? Like, I want love to look like something. I want it to look like dishes being done. I'm an acts of service girl. Rose can understand me. Love looks like making me some coffee sometimes, right? Looks like listening to me, and vice versa. Love looks like something. Well, loving the Lord, it actually looks like something. It's not just a feeling, right? Those of you who have been married for a couple decades, you got here because you figured out that love is more than just a feeling. Sometimes you feel it, and other days you don't, and you still stick with it because you love. And love is more than just the feeling. Loving God, well, I mean, there's a lot of feelings, and I love them. I don't want to dumb that down or take it away. God loves to give you the feeling of love. It's beautiful. But loving God is more than just a feeling. It's more than, whoo, the Spirit moved on one Sunday. Whoo, I'm in love with God. Next week, I'm riding the roller coaster of life. Love looks like something. In Mark 12, it says this in verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard some debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them good answers, he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? So it's kind of an expert coming to Jesus and maybe testing him a little bit, saying, Jesus, what is the most important commandment that God gives? And this is what Jesus says, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he goes on, there's a second greatest commandment. Love the person next to you. Love your neighbor. Love other people. You can't do the first if you can't do the second if you're not doing the first. To love the Lord with everything is the most important commandment. It's also will be challenged more than anything else in your life, for sure. And during seasons of shaking and hardship, our love for God is tested especially. During personal shakings, you know, when things aren't going well, during economic shakings, political shakings, where's our eyes set on? Where's our affections? Where are they pointed at? And, you know, we know that this is one of the ways our love is tested, because it says even at the end of the age, when things get really, really bad in the earth, they're going to get worse eventually, and the earth is going to see the worst days it's ever seen. And during that season, the bride of Christ, the church, is going to get so gloriously committed to the Lord. But also, there will be some that says their love will actually grow cold, because they're going to be offended, and they're going to be, the shaking is going to like rock them, and they're going to be like, what? I didn't think it was going to be like this. I thought everything was going to be easy street. And they're going to be so offended that it's like their love is just going to grow cold, and they're going to fall away. So we know we have to focus on this greatest commandment all the time, because it's so important for the long haul. It is. So I want to focus, there's four different aspects, and I've taught on all of them before. in this passage. We love him with our heart. We love him with our soul. We love him with our mind. And we love him with our strength. Those are actually four separate things. Four separate things. And I don't know if I'm going to get past the heart, and that's okay. Because that's the one I'm... If I get past the heart, it's just going to be frosting for you guys. Here's the cake, though. But I'll go through them real fast. We love God with our heart, and our heart, to love God with your heart is to love him with your passions, to love him with your dreams. Your heart contains your inward desires, right? It's to love him with your affections. To love God with your heart means that we guard our hearts from offense, from anger, from deception, and from everything that distracts us from Jesus Christ. That's what it means to love God with all your heart. It's so important that we guard our heart. And when we do, you have to know this is an expression of your love for the Lord. So Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do comes from your heart. Isn't that true? Yes. Have you ever been in a conversation and you just start saying something so ugly and you're like, whoa, I had no idea that was in there. Yeah. That was in my heart and it just came flowing out of my lips and now I got to deal with it. When we deal with the things that are going on inside of us, it's important in that moment that you know what you're really doing is you're saying, I just love you, God. I'm forgiving that person because I love you with all my heart. See, when you're in it, you don't even realize that's what love looks like. When you're going after the bitterness, when you're going after the anger, when you're going after the pain and the frustration, you're like, I'm not going to let it sit there. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to forgive. And the Lord is like, oh, she's loving me with her heart. All her heart. See, if you entertain pain all the time in your heart, then pain comes out, doesn't it? If you entertain bitterness, hurt, then bitterness just comes spilling out. If you are entertaining anger, then for sure, anger is just going to come out. But when you say, God, I'm going to love you with all my heart, means I'm going to challenge everything within me that hinders love. Then all of a sudden, everywhere you go, love is just spilling out. Because you only can give what you have. And you can't give anything that you don't have. If you don't have bitterness, you can't give it away. If you don't have anger, you can't give it away. But if you don't have love, you can't give it away either. I'm going to tell you a story because I've been thinking about what our nation really needs in this hour. What does our nation really need right now? No, yes, Jesus. Jesus is always the answer. Good job, JC. He does. He needs Jesus. But I'm going to expound on that. What does our nation really need right now? You don't have to answer because I'm afraid I'm going to get some answers that I'm not banking on here. More than a different leader, more than our favorite guy or gal sitting in any certain seat of office on any certain level, more than that, there's something our nation needs. They need the people of God rising up into the glory of having a clean, unoffended heart of love towards God so we can have that towards each other. I never have personally lived in an hour where there's so much anger and hatred on our soil. It's always there. I mean, anger and hatred is a plague since the beginning, since the first sin entered the earth. However, in my lifetime, I have never lived through days of so much anger and hatred. Let me tell you a story. A few weeks ago, I was watching the news. I'm very unhappy about what I was reading. And it was because it's yucky. I was reading bad stuff. I was reading stuff that was bad. And some political leaders that were, honestly, they were just, it was terrible. It was legitimately awful. And talking about needing to re-educate people of a different thought and mindset in America. And it is yucky. It was really yucky. It was offensive to me. There was all kinds of things being said that Christians were nothing but bigots, didn't care about the poor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on and on and on. And I was getting angrier and angrier, and I was just so angry. All of a sudden it stopped, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just like, do you know something? Just all of a sudden you just see yourself. And I was like, I hate these people. I can't even say it out loud. Like, I hate them. That's what I was feeling. I hate this person and this person and this person. I hate what they're doing to our nation, but I hate them. Do you know what? In that moment, I was the problem of America. Yeah. Me. Amen. Me. No president, no leader. Autumn Man was the problem. Guess what I did? Repent. Repent. If you're angry and hateful, you're the problem. Don't blame shift. You are the master of your own heart under the grace of God. If you're full of bitterness towards the people who have wronged you, you're the one wrong. Jesus didn't spill his blood so his church would wallow around in cesspools of bitterness and anger. He literally died to raise us up into a glorious existence with him. Bitterness is below you. Anger is the fruit of the devil. What America needs now is a church really on fire with love. But until we love him with everything, we can't love our neighbor. And we know what God said when he said, love your neighbor, because someone said, well, who's my neighbor? Remember that? Who's my neighbor? Only Republicans, right? You don't mean those crazy guys stealing our jobs? I'm telling you, he gave the story. He knew what we'd be thinking 2,000 years later in America. And he says, your neighbor is anyone standing in front of you. Oh, man. I'm yearning for the church to come into love. But I know my yearning is like a drop in the bucket compared to God's yearning. He's saying, I'm going to have a bride. She's going to be beautiful and spotless. Remember, not even a spot on her dress. She's going to be so mature in love by the time I return. And maybe he's allowing the perfect circumstances for us to die to ourselves in every way and come alive to love. I just know love changes everything. The love of God in my soul changes everything. I wanted impromptu to have Anna Bonilla share her testimony this morning, but she's not here. Anna, our little Hispanic dreadlock mama. Oh, I love her soul. She's amazing. She's so amazing. She could tell you how love sets her free from drug addiction, from a life of no dignity, from self-hatred, from that to passionate lover of God, lover of people, evangelist. Anna is one of the most fruitful people I know. While loving on 4 babies and caring for her home, she's got people in, continuous people, discipling them, giving them some Mexican food and some Jesus all at the same time. I just have to pause to say, She asked me for my chili recipe the other day, and I said, you're asking me for my chili recipe? Anna, I love you. Yes. I have nothing to offer you in the area of Mexican food, girl. Are you sure you want my recipe? Oh, guys, this is something we have to commit to and sign up for today. And again, tomorrow. And in a week, when more executive orders are signed and we don't like half of them and they're affecting our life. And in 3 months, what about the day when this gospel becomes a hate crime? It could happen. It's heading that direction. But what about the day when it's a punishable hate crime just to preach this word? What's our reaction? Rioting? Fighting? Taken to the streets? No. No. Jesus died to raise us up from such chaotic nonsense. I mean, be the change, you know? I mean, God calls Christians to go enter politics, run for office. I mean, get involved. But if you don't do it from the place of love, you're just going to be a source of the problem continued. If we could, we need a mighty courageous group of people that lay down the sword of entitlement and anger and pick up the love of God and go change the world. Do you know that now is just the season of harvest? Yes. There's since this summer, I really don't think there's a week that's went by that somebody doesn't give their life to Jesus, either on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night at our youth group or out in the house churches that are happening in the community. That we never even see those folks because they're just having Bible studies. And we're talking, now is the season of harvest. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus, on the first commandment, on what matters, on what's most important. When I was dealing with all this yucky, disgusting stuff that all of a sudden I was like, oh, I don't hate anybody, but that's not true at this moment. I got to deal with this. James 1:20 was just like quickened to me a couple different ways. James 1:20 says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Oh, all right. I get it. All right. Oh, God, you're good. I mean, there's really one point to this. As we manage our heart in difficult times, you have to know you're doing it as an expression of your love for God. Like when you are dealing with anger and frustration, when you're turning off the conspiracy videos and going, that is just not feeding my spirit. When you're, you know, even if it's true, like if it produces anger and hatred, turn it off. When you're doing those things, when you're making those choices, you have to know in that moment, I'm loving you, God. He looks and he says, you're loving me. Right now, that's what love looks like. Just like I could look at Jeff and say, right now, I'm really, really busy. And what love looks like, honey, is vacuuming for me. And he's like, okay, I need a vacuum right now. Because that's what love looks like for Autumn. Right? You can tell I really like people to help me with my household chores. They're not my household chores. They're the household chores that we all have responsibility for. Amen? Love looks like something. And it looks like we steward our heart. We keep it clean before the Lord. There's this amazing scripture in Psalm 139:3, and it says, it's this invitation that David says, search me, O God. Search me. Know my heart. Try me. Test me. Know my thoughts. And I just think it's this beautiful hour where we're to come before the Lord in really a season that none of us have ever lived through before. of craziness, of chaos, of disease and sickness and corruption. Tons of corruption. But you'll never feel the life of God by staring at it. Just know, Jesus said it was there. He said it's going to get worse. And he also said when he returns, he's going to deal with every corrupt leader. And you can take peace in that. Jesus, you got this one. You're going to dethrone every corrupt leader. And you yourself are going to set godly leaders in place when he returns. He will. I mean, I like when he does it before he returns, but we know he will after he returns for sure. So it's this beautiful time where I feel like God's calling his church to love again, to loving him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, getting our eyes off of everything that hinders love, anything that produces anger, anything that produces rage. And we actually could, literally the church will be a healing force in our nation as we rise to this. Now, maybe the whole nation may look pretty yucky, but the person you encounter, that when they bump into you with their anger, all they get back is love, because that's all you have in you to give. It'll change their life. There's a problem if we can't love and pour ourselves out on someone who thinks completely different in every way than us, then we're the problem. I'm the problem at that point. But the good news is, as soon as I realize that, I don't have to be the problem anymore. Because this repentance is instant. I repent, I get filled with the Holy Spirit and love of God. I'm on now, Lord. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm ready to spill some love out. Praise God. Chad, why don't you come on up? We're gonna spend some time responding. You can read in your notes what it means to love him with your soul, your mind, your strength. Maybe another day we'll preach on that. But today I felt like we were really just supposed to focus on what does it look like to love him with all our heart. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand up right now? I really like that song, Build My Life. If you have another one on your heart, that's fine. But if not, this is the first thing we're going to do. I want everyone to really pay attention. This is a really important moment. If you're here and you're like, you know, you have never given your life to Jesus. You've never, the love I was talking about where it says when you were still a sinner and you were just living a reckless life away from him, it was while you're in that state that Jesus died for you. You don't clean yourself up to come to him. You don't just get yourself better. Well, if I'm just going to break this addiction so that I'm worthy to come to Christ. No, you come to Christ and he breaks the addiction. You don't say, oh, well, I'm just going to deal it with all of my anger issues because I'm not worthy. Then I'm going to come to God and I'm going to give my life to him. Nope. You come to God with your hot mess and he saves you. That's it. And then you tackle those things from the point of the finished work of Christ. So it's really possible that in this room right now, there are people that you have never given your life to Jesus, but you want to. You're like, that description of who that God is, I want that God. That's who I need. That's who I want to live for. Or you may be in this room and you tasted of the goodness of God, but you have been a million miles away, you know, doing your own thing, running hard from Father God. And today's just the day. Today's the day for you to run back into the love of God. Yeah. Let me close our eyes right now. Just nobody looking around. Let's just give God this holy moment. If you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to return to Jesus because you just know I've been away, I just want you to raise your hand right now before the Lord. Nobody's looking around. This is you and Jesus. If I don't raise it high, raise it proud. Lord, I want to run back to you. Awesome. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. anyone else, you're like, I just want to get to Jesus right now. Let's pray this together. Everyone, let's just pray it loud. Jesus, we're coming to you. We're giving you our life right now. Take my life, everything in my life. I give it all to you. I won't hold anything back. I turn from my sin. I give it to you. I receive your forgiveness. I receive the Holy Spirit. I command darkness to leave me. And I receive the infilling of your Holy Spirit. And I will live for you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength for all my days. Amen. If you raised your hand, or if you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, and maybe for the first time, or you're just coming back to the Lord, I really want you to find someone in the church and tell them, I just came back to Jesus, because we want to walk with you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We've all been there. Praise God. All right, we're going to worship the Lord just as a response to this message. And I want you just to be talking to God and ask him, is there a way, search me, oh God, is there a way in my life that I have just not been loving you? Is there garbage in my heart that is hindering love? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Go ahead, John.